ghosts, hauntings, UFOs, Bigfoot, aliens, shadow people, vampires, werewolves, demons. Blurring the line between the normal and the paranormal, Harrisburg Area Paranormal Society presents The Blurred Line. Here are your hosts, Sue Shinsky, John Curley, and Matt Haas.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Blurred Line. I'm your host, Sue Shinsky, along with my co-host, Matt Haas. How are you doing tonight, Matt? Are you there, Matt?
Oh, can you hear me, Sue?
I can.
Okay, sorry about that.
I thought I lost you.
Mic. Yeah. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing great. Now, I know I am very interested in tonight's topic, and I know that you are too. And for everyone, this is a little bit of a departure from our normal conversations. We typically talk about the paranormal and spirituality and we do talk about lots of things, but tonight we're discussing the mind-body connection and how you can change your life with a quote-unquote different perspective on wellness. And I think that people are changing their perspectives on wellness and medicine and how you can change your life through different channels. We all hear stories about people going to Eastern medicine when Western medicine has failed them. But tonight's guest will discuss Ayurveda and how it can enrich your life now. Everyone, please welcome Rakesh Sethi to the show. Welcome, Rakesh.
Thank you very much, Sue. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you, Matt, for having me. I want to just make one addition to Sue. You what just
yes, please said. Do.
Yes, and that is the Ayurvedic medicine is a consciousness-based medicine. So spirituality is a very integral part of wellness in this particular medical system. So we will not be departing too far away from perhaps from
right.
your listeners who have listened to spirituality in the past.
Definitely, it does fit in. And I mean, can you tell us a little bit about Ayurvedic medicine and what it encompasses? What are the tenets, I suppose?
Absolutely. As you had mentioned that people are becoming a lot more aware of how to stay well, how to avoid taking drugs, for your chronic illnesses or for any other purpose. People are trying to go more in the natural way, which is very good. It is fantastic. The movement is there. But often when I see my clients and also when I give seminars and talks, people ask, well, where do I begin? Because, there are so many things out there. There's so many natural modalities out there. Where do I begin? Which will suit me? And that's where Ayurvedic medicine is very different. This particular modality really hones in on who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It discovers your unique nature. It discovers your physical self, mental self, and also to some extent your spiritual constitution. And when you know who you are at that moment, that becomes your reference point. Like, this is your balance. This is where you are living in health. So when you deviate from that balance position, you are in a discomfort position, which is a dis-ease position, which is a disease position.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea is, once you know who you are and what is your balance point, and if you move away from that balance, now you know what you need to restore back to. And that is where Ayurvedic medicine really helps you out. Because Ayurvedic medicine talks about how to use food as your first medicine, how to use kitchen as your first pharmacy, and how to restore your balance. And that's why, that's how Ayurvedic medicine works and why it is different from other modalities, because it really revolves around your unique nature.
And how does a person get in touch with, well, I guess, realize their mind-body connection?
If I am correct in understanding your question, perhaps you're asking, how does a person evaluate or come to their unique nature?
Yes.
What is their unique constitution?
Mm-hmm.
And this particular question it's a three-pronged answer. The very quick and dirty way, there are so many websites out there that offer you a short questionnaire that you can take that, and that determines what is the profile of your constitution. And you can do that, but it will not be very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go through a rather long questionnaire, and then that's number one, that's the one data point. The other data point is your family and your own medical history. So a practitioner, when you have a consultation with a practitioner, they assess what are your disease tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone has different disease tendencies based on their unique nature. So once the practitioner knows what are your unique disease tendencies, and how you have answered the very long questionnaire, which incidentally is available in my book that was published just a couple of months ago. We can touch base a little bit more on that a little bit later. But
sure.
Coming back to the constitution, the third point is a practitioner takes your pulse reading, and this pulse reading is really picking up energies in your body. This is not a pulse reading counting beats per minute. It's really taking what different energies are pulsating in you. So with these three different data points, a practitioner triangulates on what is your unique nature,
mm-hmm.
what is your body constitution, body-mind constitution, and that is unique to you, and that never changes or should never change throughout your life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know how to keep that same constitution, that is your balance. And that's why everybody's balance is unique. So once you know what is your unique body-mind constitution, now you know what to do to keep that balance.
That's very interesting. I mean, I think that a lot of people, and this had come to me when I had said that I was going to be, you know, talking to you about this, you know, the first thing that comes up is yoga. And I think that a lot of people think that yoga is it. But that's clearly not the case.
No, yoga is incidentally, is described in my, just a moment, please.
Sure. So, Matt, how you doing?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad.
So we had a pretty interesting conversation before the show about how interested that you were in this topic.
Oh, yes. I was saying it's a fair bit of serendipity that we actually had this this specific topic come up, because, you know, I know myself, I've struggled with weight gain, weight loss,
mm-hmm.
over the last, I'd probably say, half a decade now.
Yeah.
And, you know, through some of my own trials and tribulations, you know, I've kind of come to realize just how connected, you know, fitness and diet,
mm-hmm.
are really to your own natural well-being. I mean,
and your mental really well-being as well.
Exactly. I mean, you really can't take one and not the other. It's, from my experience, at least, it's always been, you know, it's the holistic approach, you know, as far as looking at exercise and the foods you put in your mouth, you know, it's curb the chemicals and start looking at a very natural approach to your diet.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know that's helped me, and I've fallen off of that. So it was kind of refreshing to actually see Rakesh's website on Ayurvedic medicine, because maybe something I might want to have to check out.
Exactly.
I apologize, guys.
Oh, sure.
I should have turned my phone off prior to our engagement, but I slipped my mind.
No worries.
Anyways, so where did we leave off? Because I got interested in what Matt has to say, and Matt, I will address that in just a moment after I go through what we were talking about.
Oh, well, we were just kind of bringing up a little bit about how some people think that, you know, when they think of Ayurvedic medicine, they think of yoga, and they kind of think that that's it.
Yes, yoga is not just a bunch of exercises, postures, and so forth. Unfortunately, that's what we have in the West reduced the yoga to that level.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga has an entirely different meaning. And in fact, I just posted a blog post on that, taking a little clip out of my book. And I have posted that blog post in there that yoga is, what is really yoga? And what does Ashtanga yoga means? Because Ashtanga yoga gets into the eight limbs of yoga and how each one of those limbs plays a role in your wellness. And it's a very, very eye-opening and as well as interesting topic in itself. And it plays a very important role in your wellness, in your overall wellness. So we don't have time to get into this subject in a whole lot of detail, but it is suffice to say that that after this program, I hope the listeners will take a look at yoga from different perspectives and look at it a little bit more closely, that this is not just a bunch of exercises. There's a whole a scheme, or you can call it a series of things that play in a different level at your physical level, at your conduct level, at your mental level, at your intellectual level, and at your spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have all of those levels combined together, and behind one goal, which is wellness, you really achieve a true wellness in your life in all aspects.
And I can actually, you know, I can echo that as far as, you know, some of my personal experiences with yoga. I mean, a lot of Western culture, the men at least, they kind of disregard yoga, you know, as this woman's sport, this woman's exercise. But, you know, I started taking up yoga myself when I was doing P90X, and I mean, it's not exactly, you know, yoga in its true form, but it does, you know, it includes some of the Ashtanga yoga, and I can tell you that actually doing that on a regular basis, it really helped with breathing, it helped with my mental well-being, it helped with flexibility. I mean, after the yoga itself, I felt more alive than I had with any other workout that I've ever done in my entire life.
Hmm.
You see, yoga, when you're doing yoga at the physical level, the asanas, the postures, when you do these postures, of course, you're keeping your flexibility in joints, muscles, bones, and all of that. But when you do these postures in a right position, you're actually putting pressure on internal organs in such a way that those organs are getting exercise that no other exercise, physical exercise, is exercising those organs in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really, you can call it a cleansing of organs. At the same time, you are strengthening the function of those organs at the same time. And as Matt mentioned, when you're doing breathing exercises, the breath and mind are very much connected.
Mm-hmm.
As goes your breath, so goes your mind. So, and as goes your mind, so goes your breath. So, I mean, if you think about it, when you're angry, you breathe differently.
Right.
And when you're fearful, you breathe differently. And when you're calm, collected. Your breath is very deep and slow and a very calm breath. So let me give you one takeaway here. If you're ever in a situation where your mind is restless or in an anger state or in some other state other than calm, focus on your breath. Make your breath deep and slow, and very soon you'll find the mind will follow the breath.
Mm-hmm.
And it will also become very calm.
And that's interesting too, because I suffer from anxiety disorder that can be a little bit debilitating at times. And I know that there was an exercise that I was given to kind of walk myself through that moment. And a lot of that had to do with breathing.
Yes, very true. Anxiety disorders are related to the nerves, and the nerves and mind, obviously, they are very much connected.
Mm-hmm.
And in a person who has some sort of anxiety, they start to future pace very quickly. And by focusing on your breath, it brings your focus back to the present.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it slows down the rate at which perhaps mind is moving in conjuring up all the perhaps, bad things that you could think of.
Right.
So the whole thing shifts. The whole focus shifts when you do such an exercise. And it brings you, it gives you back a control. And in fact, in my book, I discuss this very subject, where you can have your intellect be in control as opposed to your mind in control of yourself.
And that is very interesting. I know that my mind kind of takes over sometimes.
Well, it is not just you. Mind is, as we talked about how mind and breath are connected, mm-hmm. Mind is also connected on one end to the outside world, your five senses. And your five senses are, sight, smell, hearing, touch, and taste. And all of these senses are very much involved with all the sensual pleasures and different things that life has to offer. And mind is pretty much hijacked by these five senses. So it's not just unique to you, Sue. It's,
sure.
It's all of us. And the thing is, how much of the pleasure we get from these five senses, and when should we draw the line? And when should we say, okay, enough is enough? And that's when the intellectual control comes in. And people who live without this particular check or control, they often create either illness for them in physical self, or they create some sort of relationship issues and other mental issues. All of these things can, once if the mind is hijacked
mm-hmm.
By these, all these things can come into play. And that's why, oftentimes when we say, and this term is pretty much going around these days, do a mindful eating
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, just eating for pleasure and just, not knowing how much you have eaten and what you have eaten.
So that's one of the...
The idea really is to be in control, and that's where your intellect comes in. Your whole equipment, if you will, your body, mind, intellect, and your spirituality, all comes together to keep you in balance. And if any one of them is absent, you can go off imbalance rather quickly.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I was wondering too, I don't know how, obviously we only have an hour show to get into all of the topics. But, you know, I noticed I was reading some reviews and I was reading about your book, and, you know, there are the traditional categories of the traditional Ayurvedic categories, the Vata, and I'm probably going to really horribly pronounce these words, and I apologize in advance. Vata, Pitta, and Kapha?
Oh, you have pronounced perfectly.
Oh, good.
Yes, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. These are the three different energies, and these three different energies are what present in each one of us, and in every food that we eat, in everything that you see in the nature, these three energies are present in them. And what makes you unique, Sue, and what makes you unique, Matt, that these three energies are present in different proportions. So Vata is present in all of us, but it could be 20% in Matt, for example, and it could be 40% in you, Sue. So, mm-hmm. So the different energies are pulsating in different proportions in each one of us. So the idea is to keep these proportions the same.
Mm.
When we talk about balance, we don't talk about balance that Vata, Pitta, and Kapha need to be in 33%, 33%, 33%. We don't need to equalize these three energies in each one of us. Now imagine if we did that, then all we are doing is we are creating copies of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So that's not, and if we did that, we'll be creating imbalance, and then that will result in diseases. So the idea really is if, let's say, Sue, you are 40% Vata, and let's say you are 30% Pitta, and that leaves another 30% for Kapha.
Mm-hmm.
So that is your constitution, and that is what you need to keep throughout your life. So now, at this point, when I'm giving talks and presentations, there's often a question that comes up at this point, and that is, well, what makes my 40-30-30 go off balance or change its proportion?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we just spoke, that food also brings in Vata, Pitta, Kapha energies into us. So let's suppose you are eating healthy food, but let's suppose this particular healthy food is high in Vata energy, and since our culture only speaks of, we don't speak of energies in food, we only speak of vitamins, we speak of proteins, carbs, and mm-hmm. fats, and based on that we are consuming and thinking what is healthy for us. And I would like to today add another dimension to that, and that is the energies in food. So if Vata is high in the healthy food that, let's suppose, you're taking, Sue,
mm-hmm.
and your Vata is at 40%, and Ayurvedic medical science is not a rocket science. So if you consume more Vata energy in you, your Vata energy goes up within you.
Mm-hmm.
As your Vata energy goes up in you, Vata-related disease symptoms will start to appear in you. And one of the things that you had mentioned earlier, that you often have some sort of anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and anxiety is a Vata disorder.
Mm.
So which means is that if you were to consume foods with little less Vata energy in them, you will bring down your Vata. As you bring down your Vata to the balance where your balance is, your anxiety symptoms will be minimized or completely disappear.
I bet that Vata is not carbs, or it is carbs, because I love carbs.
No, Vata actually has not much to do with carbs.
Oh,
if we were talking specifically about carbs, let me put it this way. Carbs are, okay, let's go back to a little bit more scientific approach.
Sure.
In my past life, I was an electrical engineer and computer science, graduated from UC Berkeley, and I also did my pre-med there. So I approach many things, and so did in my book, in a very scientific way. So forgive me if I become a little bit technical here, but I think it is a little bit necessary for us to make this point.
Oh, yes.
Okay. All energies, if we sort of drill down a little bit more into the nature, all energies come from some sort of elements, material in them. So material becomes energy, and energy becomes material. This is a dance in nature that is going on forever, mm-hmm. from the beginning, and it will go on through till the end. So this particular dance between energy and elements is also happening in each one of us as well. And that's what I mean by when I say when you consume vata, high in vata energy foods, basically you're consuming foods that are high in air and space elements.
Mm-hmm.
Now these are lighter elements. Air practically has no weight to it, and space frankly has no weight. It's a very subtle element, and that's why the subtle qualities of these elements show up in a person who is, let's say, dominated with the vata energy. And that particular person inherently will not be a very heavy person, because majority of the elements in this person, when they are living in balance, are lighter elements.
Mm-hmm.
So they are not going to be very big people. They are going to be small or lighter people. Their bone structure will not be very large. Their body overall structure will not be very large. They will be smaller people. Their frame will be small, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And these are the people who have more affinity for air and space elements. So when they come across earth and water elements, and earth and water elements, incidentally, are the carbs,
mm-hmm.
and heavier elements. And vata people have a tendency to discard these elements when they eat such food naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they don't put on weight. Now, Matt, you had earlier mentioned that you have put on weight, and then you can lose weight, and then you can put on weight easily. Now, your body may have more kapha energy. Kapha energy is earth and water elements dominant. The dominant elements in the kapha energy are earth and water, which means that you will retain more, you have affinity to retain earth and water elements more than a vata person. So which means that if you were to consume a very little amount of food rich in earth and water elements, you will absorb those earth and water elements, you know, like a magnet. You will be just attracted to them, and they will stay in your body. And that's why you can put on weight rather easily as compared to a vata person who will not put on weight rather easily. The earth and water elements will sort of go through them. It's like, you know, a person, some person who walks by a dining room, smell the food, just look at the food, and they will put on weight.
That's me. You just described me.
Okay. And then there is another person who can probably put away half the table, and next morning they get on the scale and they haven't put on an ounce. So that's the difference between our constitution. And that is why we need to treat ourselves differently. That is why we need to take a look at the foods that we are eating. And in my blog posts, there is an article about this particular subject, which talks about, you know, are you eating healthy foods, or are you eating foods that are healthy and suitable for you? And that suitability, of course, is determined by your unique nature.
That brings up a good point, too, because I notice a lot, you know, at least in the Western world here, is you know, you have these fad diets. Everybody's like, the cool thing today is to be vegan. But, you know, the thing is like, I've noticed a lot of people who are vegan, but they're still very sickly. It's like, maybe you should be eating other things, meats, etc., that are more conducive to your body type, or what some would say, like, eating for your blood type. I guess it's kind of another way to look at that in the sense with the three energies in this case. But, a lot of the things, like I have a couple friends that are vegan, and works for some of them, others not so much.
Yeah. Worked for me. Loved it.
Yeah, and a lot of the fad diets, you know, oh, well, you know, maybe if I just do the Atkins diet, or if I go do the South Beach diet, and people aren't really approaching it from a, well, what works for me, you know, specifically. Well, corporate America throws out this new fad diet, and everybody chases it because it's supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. No, see, one of the thing, underlying thing, and I hope our listeners will go away with this particular concept here. When it comes to wellness, one size does not fit all.
Right.
So,
exactly.
So if the FDA or if the Surgeon General or wherever these some admonishments, recommendations that are coming. One should take those with a grain of salt and not just go ahead and apply in their life as it is meant exactly for them, because that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in the conventional medicine, more of the attention is given to a quote-unquote an average person. For an average person, this works. We did survey, we did these studies and so forth, and for so many people it worked, and so many percentage it didn't work. So the idea is that their recommendations are coming on based on these statistics. And last I checked, you know, I don't have an average person walking into my practice and telling me, hey, I'm an average person and everything that is out there applies to me.
Right.
You know, you know, it just doesn't work that way.
Right.
So one size doesn't fit all. And when it comes to wellness, you must discover who you are. What is your uniqueness?
Absolutely.
And what makes you unique? And you're not an average person. And that's why a lot of these formulas that have been floating around for ages, if they had worked, they would have worked by now. And the reason why they're not working is because one size doesn't fit all.
Everybody's unique.
That's right. And we need to honor that. And I am very glad that conventional medicine more recently, when I say more recently, in the last decade plus, they're also recognizing that addressing the needs of mind is very important in healing.
Mm-hmm.
It is. We are not just robots in physical bodies and address the disease and then we are done. No, they are beginning to realize that when a person is going through some sort of either elective surgery or some sort of accident or something happened, catastrophe in their life, their healing is a lot faster when their psychological needs, mental needs are also addressed.
Right.
And that is so true, because body and mind, they are very much connected. They are intertwined. And in this particular case, we can see, you know, how energies are connected. As I had just mentioned, that elements that are physical elements, they flow into becoming energy, and that's exactly what it is. Mind is energy, and physical body is all physical.
Mm-hmm.
And just as in nature, energy and elements are connected, similarly, body and mind are connected.
Right.
More or less, wanted to get your opinion on, because I know I was reading some of the things on your website about how traditional medicine should be one of the fewer things that we actually use, and actually looking at, you know, the kitchen as being your pharmacy, and what your thoughts are on a lot of the quick diagnosis of autism, or not autism, but I can't. It's escaping me. ADD in kids, you know, and how that their diet really affects that.
Very true, Matt. If I understand the gist of your question is, how does diet affect the ADD in children?
Yes, basically, like how prevalent is it to really determining, you know, how that kid's going to act?
As we were discussing prior to the break, that food has certain energies, and those energies mean certain elements that you are bringing into your body. What is ADD? Okay, attention deficit disorder, which is a nerves-related imbalance or disease, however you want to say it. This particular disease basically has a trouble keeping your focus in one thing for a good period of time. So your mind is jumping from one to another very quickly. So you're moving very fast. The mobility in the nerves is very fast. So what moves very fast out of the elements that we were talking about? Incidentally, there are five elements. We spoke of four: earth, water, fire, air, and space. So those are the five elements. Everything that you see, touch, feel, hear is all made of those five elements, and again, in different proportions. So the foods that you eat is also made of those five elements. So some foods are higher in air and space elements. So people, or I should say in this particular case, we're talking about children who have high, let's say, mobility or fast-moving nerves, and have attention deficit disorder, the mobility is associated with air and space, because air and space is the one that are the two elements that impact our nervous system, the mobility in our nervous system. The kids who have this should not eat foods that are lighter foods. They need to eat a little bit heavier foods. When they eat a little bit heavier foods, their nervous system calms down a little bit. Now think about it for a moment. Air and space, they virtually have no moisture in them. And now when I speak of moisture or water, I speak of hydrolipids, fats and water together. Our brain is made of all right fats. And if brain gets dry, the anxiety and also attention deficit, all of these things sort of crop up, also dementia, memory loss, all of those things sort of crop up, those symptoms crop up when the nervous system is not nourished properly. So in those kids, how you nourish the nervous system is by, you can do external oilation to the head. And when I say oilation, you can massage the head with the best oil probably to use is sesame oil, cold pressed sesame oil, organic sesame oil. But you can use any other oil like almond oil or olive oil as well if you like. But the point being is you need to nourish the brain. And similarly, when you take in foods, you need to take in foods that are also rich in the right fats. I'm not talking about eating saturated fat. I'm not talking about eating gobs of cooked and rancid oil, oily foods and things like that. I'm talking about eating perhaps just a tablespoon of raw olive oil in your food, for example, if you were to put it in. So eating the right oils and the right amount of oils can seriously make a difference in the ADD, because the symptoms will subside, and basically it's a vata-related imbalance. Okay. And typically ADD will also occur in children who are born with high vata energy to begin with.
Mm.
And so that is what I was talking about, the disease tendency. That's why not everybody has ADD, because, you know, it depends on what different energies are pulsating you in what proportion.
You just have to balance it.
That's right. So some foods, if you eat, they will take those energies out of balance. Now, so for example, let's talk about tastes, and I don't want to get too far deep into this, very quickly, vata energy is balanced by eating heavier foods. So if you were to eat tastes like sugar is heavier. Now, somebody might think like, hey, if I am feeding sugar to my child who's hyperactive, then I would be, you know, increasing their hyperactivity.
Right.
And which is very true if you were to put in white sugar. So we're not talking about white sugar. We're talking about here sugars that are natural sugars present in, grains. Grains have carbohydrates, and those are sugars. And now we're talking about also sweet fruits. Those are also sugars. So we're talking about these sugars that go into your system in a very slow way, not like an injection of sugar and you get a sugar high. Mm. So sugar is one of them. And then the other tastes that will also be very good for the ADD would be salt, for example. As you eat salty foods, and now I'm talking about, again, minerals that are present in foods. I'm not talking about eating lots of white salt. And when you eat such foods, when you have salts in your body, you tend to hold on to hydrolipids more. You are not as dry. So that diet will also be helpful. And the other one is sour diet. So the sweet, sour, salty. So when you have these types of tastes dominating in your diet, along with proper oils, you can have a significant impact on the symptoms of ADD. Just with food.
And thank you very much for that, because my question actually kind of had a little bit of an ulterior motive. I had a story to tell as well, just a quick one.
Sure.
I went to recently. I was at a community college with a woman that had a child who had been diagnosed with ADD. And, you know, he was on all these medications, and the kid was very imbalanced. And she had actually sought out alternative medicines. And this doctor had told her, you know, deeply look into your child's diet, exactly what he's eating. Not just, you know, is he eating too much sugar, but is he, you know, what kind of foods is he eating? Well, this doctor had helped her balance her son's diet.
Hmm.
And it actually, it completely reversed the symptoms of ADD. He was able to come off the medicine. He wasn't angry anymore. So it was kind of it was really interesting to see, at least, you know, to be able to see an experience, you know, to actually firsthand know somebody who'd actually gone through this sort of thing and just how much it impacted their, you know, their child's well-being, which kind of brought me to the, you know, the idea, you know, my son is, you know, very carefully watch, you know, how he's acting and what he's eating and looking at his diet, because, you know, if I can avoid putting him on medication, you know, by regulating diet and exercise, I would much rather do that than have him become, you know, like a drone on medicine to try to balance him out.
Absolutely. Now, Matt, there is another thing that you can do is, as I had mentioned, applying an external oleation.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this external oleation to entire body, by the way. And applying it to the entire body, again, it calms down the nervous system. It nourishes the nervous system. And at the same time, it nourishes all the tissues as well, by the way, directly. It is not just good for kids with ADD. This particular massage, if you want to call it, it's an Ayurvedic massage. And it's not really massage in a conventional sense where you're trying to put pressure and muscle or deep tissue or anything like that. It simply is loving the body with applying oil. And this particular way of lifestyle or applying oil at least, let's say, once a week, even for adults, it slows down aging. It actually becomes a protective layer around the cells as well. And so your immunity goes up. And because your nervous system stays a lot more balanced, you sleep a lot better. Your brain chatters a little less. The brain chatter calms down.
Mm.
I mean, it has so many side effects, benefits, that it's just amazing to just have this oilation. And especially as you get older, the oil becomes a lot more important because as we get older, our body tends to become more dry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this becomes a very important call it a part of lifestyle.
Yeah. We are quickly approaching the end of the show. I hate to even say it. I mean, the hour has flown by crazily. I wanted you to be able to plug your book and your website. So where can people read more and where can they find you?
Well, my website is www.truewellnessgroup.com. And on the website, you would find a very extensive blog of natural remedies, of how to use different herbs, how to discover your own nature.
Mm-hmm.
There is a short questionnaire, however, when you do that, but it's available. You can sign up for it and download that. And you can also schedule an appointment with me. On that, you'll need to go to blog, and once you go to blog, you will see on the side how to schedule time with me. My homepage on my website, incidentally, is almost dedicated to corporate wellness because I am a corporate wellness speaker. I give keynote presentations, so if listeners have some wellness event or any corporate event where they would like to introduce their employees to a different way of approaching health and participate in your wellness every day because you eat food every day.
Mm-hmm.
I give talks on that so they can approach me on that as well. The book is also available on my website. This particular book, by the way, it took me 2 years to put it together, and there are very many Ayurvedic books out there. Why this book is different? Because I didn't want to be too medically or technically inclined in talking about Ayurveda in this book. I wanted to be very pragmatic and have a very scientific approach so that people can follow the reason and apply it in their life in a very pragmatic way.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is not to really learn about Ayurveda as much as the idea is how to apply this particular intelligence in your life at all levels of your living, physical, mental, and as well spiritual. So you will find this book a very comprehensive book from that perspective. Incidentally, the book is also available on Amazon as well.
I was about to ask that.
Yes. And what is the name of the book again?
Health plus happiness equals wellness.
Excellent.
And I'll be picking up a copy.
I absolutely will, because I'm very interested. And as usual, we always have a very interesting conversation during the break. And you gave me some insight. And I'm glad that you told people where they can contact you and they can, you know, speak with you and get a consultation with you. How do people find Ayurvedic practitioners in general?
Well, there are now Ayurvedic. The other day I was reading the news article. Ayurvedic modality is the fastest growing modality in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
In the natural modalities. At this moment. And so that means, let me back up a little bit. there is also Ayurvedic academies cropping up throughout the United States teaching how to become Ayurvedic practitioners. So there's a good chance, if you live in a metropolitan area, that there is an Ayurvedic practitioner practicing in your city.
Mm-hmm.
The best way, I guess, you could find is probably you can Google and you can see if there is an Ayurvedic center or Ayurvedic practitioner locally available to you. But if it's not, no worries. You can do, especially if you don't have any serious chronic illness that you're trying to address, you can have an Ayurvedic consultation over the Skype, either with me or any other practitioner you choose who is not local.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And there are actually local ones around me.
It's great. I know that I, for one, am going to be investigating this further. And thank you so much for coming on tonight and talking to us. It's been excellent.
Oh, you're very welcome, Sue. And in the future, should you desire, especially if you get feedback from your audience, if they want to, let's say, talk about a certain issue, case in point, you know, recently there was news that obesity was labeled as a disease.
Mm-hmm.
No, is it really a disease? Well, as we had discussion, it may not be for some people because right. of their constitution. Because
they just may be unbalanced.
Yeah. So, you know, if there are certain topics that listeners would like to have me address, like diabetes, obesity, anxiety disorder, cholesterol, you know, we can spend from Ayurvedic perspective on that particular topic and give more information to the listeners.
Excellent. Well, thank you, everyone, and thank you for listening. And I, you know, we're going to be posting this on the podcast. Check out blurredlineradio.podomatic.com. We are also on iTunes. Just search for The Blurred Line under podcasts. And also check out Harrisburg Area Paranormal Society.com to keep in touch with our exploits, I guess I should say, our jaunts. Thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Sue, and thank you.
Thank you, Rakesh. Yeah.
Rakesh.
Sorry. We're a little overwhelmed, I think.
I know. It's been a great show.
It has been.
You're very welcome, guys, and I wish you all the best, and I wish listeners the best in their health. The destiny has it, we'll talk again.
Absolutely. Thank you, and thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you next week.